Okay, today's shiur is Sefer Malachim Aleph Perek Vav, as we get into the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash. The next two prakim are all about the structure of the Beis HaMikdash and the party that related to the Chanukas HaMikdash, Be'ez Hashem, which we will get to in the next perek. But now we have Perek Vav. Shlomo HaMelech has now solidified his Malchus. He has made friends with neighbors. Hiram, the king up north, is sending him people, artisans, to help him out. David HaMelech has already gathered all of the gold and the silver. Now he has all the wood, and now Shlomo HaMelech is ready to begin the seven-year process of building the Beis HaMikdash. So the Parak tells us that in the 480th year after Yetzias Mitzrayim, that is when the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash commences. It is in Chodesh HaSheni, in the month of Iyar. It starts. Shlomo HaMelech starts. And this parak really goes through the dimensions. Goes through the dimensions of the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim and the walls and how tall. This is very different than what was in the Mishkan. We know there are going to be three. The Mishkan describes, the Torah describes the Mishkan. Here in Sefer Malachim Aleph describes Bayis Rishon. If you have in elsewhere, we will see discussed Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni is discussed really in Mishnayis, in the Mishnayis of Midos, and Bayis Shlishi is discussed in Sefer Yechezkel. So really you have all of the different structures discussed. But here we have Bayis Rishon. So it describes the Ulam, which is the area in front of the Beis HaMikdash, and the special types of windows, and that there were no hewn stones that were used on the Mizbeach and in the Beis HaMikdash, as we will talk about. There were rooms that were not in the Mishkan, rooms that were made on the sides, three levels of rooms that were made all around the Azara and all around the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim. In the middle of the structure, we have three psukim in Pasuk Yud Aleph, where Hashem says to Shlomo, this bayis is only going to last if you follow the Torah. If you follow my ways and listen to my chukim and my mishpatim, then this will last. V'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and I will not leave b'nei Yisrael. After that interlude, it continues, that first half. Ending with that is the Haftorah for Truma, as we mentioned in the last parak. And then the Navi continues to describe the unbelievable beauty. The wood is all special types of engraved wood and gold. All gold on the inside, as it is lined with Zahav Sagur. The Navi describes two large kruvim. Besides the kruvim that were on top of the Aron, Shlomo HaMelech made two tall kruvim, standing on the ground, 10 amos high, 20 feet, 50 to 20 feet kruvim in the Kodesh Kadashim that stood there, that he added on to the Mikdash. They spread out their wings. We'll see how much space that took place. And this is all the description of the walls. And the parak ends off by saying that in the 11th year, which is 7 years, you do the math, in the month of Bul, we'll have to see, that is Cheshvan, in the 8th year, the 8th month, Chodesh Hashmini, that is when the Beis HaMikdash was completed. So this is the parak that gets us into the Beis HaMikdash mode. So now let's get back to the beginning of the parak. So we know building the Beis HaMikdash is a mitzvah zaseh. So Shlomo HaMelech was interested right now in performing the mitzvah zaseh d'oraisa that his father wanted to do so badly, but David was not allowed to. As we remember, he was told one reason in Sefer Shmuel, another reason given in Divrei Hayamim. Either way, he couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash, so he did everything he could to get it ready. He bought the land, he got ready the gold and the silver, but ultimately he just wanted to do the mitzvah, which he was not able to do. The Rambam writes in Mitzvah Chaf, Shetzivanu Livnos Beis Avoda. That's what the Rambam calls it in Sefer HaMitzvahs. To build a house where we can do the avoda. Bo yiyah ha-hakrava v'havaras ha'esh tamid. That's where we will have karbanos and we will have constant burning of fire. Ve'elav yiyah ha-halicha v'ha'aliyah l'regel. And that's where all Jews will go 3 times a year. V'akibutz b'kol shana. That's where we will get together. And he quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf. Shalosh mitzvos nistavu l'Yisrael b'kneshas k'nezaz l'aretz. We have 3 mitzvahs. When we go into Eretz Yisrael, when we went in, and when Be'ez Hashem we will go in. Livnos lahem melech, 1 mitzvah to appoint a king that we've already done just now. Livnos lahem beis habechira, ulahach rezaro shalamalek. Not in that order, but to build a beis hamikdash, and this includes, the Rambam says, all the kalim. All the kalim are included in the building of the mikdash. It includes the menorah and the shulchan and the mizbeach. All of them are chelke hamikdash, and that is all called mikdash. So that is what's going on here in this parak. Shlomo HaMelech is fulfilling that mitzvah d'oraisa. So says the pasuk, "Vayehi b'shmonim shana, va'arba me'o shana, v'teis b'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. 480 years after they went out of Mitzrayim, that's when this is taking place. Right, included in that is 369 years where the Mishkan was in Shiloh, the 40 years in the desert. If you do all the math, it's 480. The Abarbanel points out, it's interesting, there must be something magical about 480, because there's 480 between Yetzias Mitzrayim and now. There is another 480 till the time of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Because if you remember, the first Beis HaMikdash stood for 410. And the next one stood for 420. So you had the 70 years in the 420, you had the 70 years in the middle. So that equals another 480 years, because it's the 410 years that it was standing, and the 70 years in between. So the second Beis HaMikdash started to be built 480 years after the first Beis HaMikdash started to be built, which was 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there's something magical about that number, says the Abarbanel, which we don't totally know. But the Abarbanel notes that, and he interestingly also points out, why is it that we count from Yetzias Mitzrayim? Now, why don't we count from Maisa Bereishis? Why don't we count from Maimon Har Sinai? No. So explain to all the Mefarshim that the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole purpose of it was Binyan Beis HaMikdash. That's the goal. That was what we have, the final goal. Obviously, Kabbalah Sotar was a goal, but that was the goal of the whole process. Am Yisrael became a nation all the way until they came, the chosen nation and the chosen land. Once they have a Beis HaMikdash and there was Hashras HaShechina, that was the ultimate. Right? What do we say in Dayenu? We have all the different stages in Dayenu and Agada. Ilu Otzianu Mimitzrayim. What's the last one? The last line of Dayenu. Ubana lanu as Beis HaBechira. L'chaper alanu al kol avonoseinu. He built us a Beis HaMikdash. That's why we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's really the goal of it all. In order to have a Beis HaMikdash for all Jews to gather, for Hashem to have His Nisim that are always there, and we always recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this process started 480 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the process. In the fourth year of Shlomo HaMelech's reign, the Mefarshim point out, why did he wait so long? Why did he wait 4 years? He knew this was his goal. So most say that he's not faulted for this, right? He was just gathering materials. He was just solidifying his malchus, gathering materials, and then he was going to build it. Who? What month? Bechodesh Ziv, in the shining month. That's called Iyar. Iyar is called Ziv because that's when it's springtime, things are blossoming. In Iyar, hu achodesh hasheni limloch Shlomo al Yisrael. It is the second month. That's Iyar, and it is the fourth year of Shlomo. The Ramban already comments in Parshas Bo that the months of the year do not have names. Right, we don't have names. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, those are all Persian month, Babylonian even names. He says they're not from the Torah. So why is it? Why is that? The Ramban points this out in Parshas Bo and on a Chodesh Zeh Lachem. V'amru Shemos Chadashim Alu Imanu Mi Bavel Ki Mitchila Lo Hayu Shemos Lemetzlein. If you look in the Torah, that Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, it doesn't say that. It says the first month Yetzias Mitzrayim, the second month Yetzias Mitzrayim. Avar Kasher Alinu Mi Bavel Chazanu Likra Chadashim Shenikraim Be'eretz Bavel Lahazkir. Says the Ramban, why do we call it still that, those names? To remind us, ki shama madnu mi sham he'alonu Hashem yisparach. To remember what was. To remember, whenever we say Nisan, we say, oh yeah, Hashem saved us. Hashem saved us from that galus. Ki elo Hashemos Nisan ir vizulasam Shemos Parsiim. They're Persian names. They're really Persian names that we used in Bavel. Right? Because Persia took over. V'lo yimsa rak besifrei nevi'ei Bavel u'b'megillas Esther. Gilas Esther, you have Adar. But that's the Ramban. But the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky goes deeper in Parshas Bo. So why did they change them? Why did they give them Jewish names? Why does the Torah, even the Torah doesn't give, but why do we make up Hebrew names? Why are we still using Persian names? Explains Rabbi Yaakov beautifully. Because when they went back during Bayis Sheni, why'd they keep those names? Because they knew this was not the ultimate. The first Beis HaMikdash might have been eternal, but it wasn't. Shlomo Melech even knew that. That's why he built underground areas where they were going to put the Aron before decades before the Chorban happened. Yeshua Melech already hit it. But Rabbi Yaakov says, for sure during Bayis Sheni, they knew that this was not going to be the ultimate Beis HaMikdash, and therefore they wanted to remember, right? There were the five things missing in the second Beis HaMikdash that were had in the first Beis HaMikdash. But why did Hashem bring them back? Because he saw that if we would stay in Galus and never have even Bayis Sheni, we would be totally assimilated, we would never be able to come back. So he brought us back, but Chazal wanted us to remember that this was not the ultimate geula. Bechdei lahadgish ulahamchish la'am she'adayin heim lo nigalu v'chi be'etzem adayin heim begalus lo helu asa'aron. Also, why didn't they take the aron back up? And also, why, amazingly, was the Talmud Yerushalmi written in Aramaic? Right? It was written in Yerushalayim. Right? So why wasn't the Talmud Yerushalmi written in Hebrew? All of these things. The Persian names, and they didn't take up the Aron. All of that is because they wanted to remember that Hashem brought them back because Hashem had to bring them back. But ultimately, there was no, this was not a full Geula, and that's why they kept those names. So as we see here, there are no Hebrew names given to the months of the year. They're just called the second month. Here it's called the Ziv, the shining month of when the Beis HaMikdash started to be built. So now we start. It was 60 amos long. 20 wide. 60 by 20 and a height of 30. And then it starts going in from the Ulam. We're talking about the most Kadosh areas. What's the Ulam? So remember, basic structure we have to review for the Beis HaMikdash. We know the Beis HaMikdash starts off Kodesh Kadashim in the west. To the east of the Kodesh Kadashim, we have the Heichal. The Heichal is where the three special Kelim were. The Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Mizbeach HaZahav. Those are the three inside the Heichal. In the Kodesh Kadashim, of course, was the Aron. And the bottle of Man. And the Aron stick. A couple of other things that were kept in the Kodesh Kadashim. And in front of that, going from Kodesh Kadashim to Heichal, in front of that was the Ulam, which is described here, which is a hallway. It's wider than the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadashim, but that's the Ulam. The Rambam calls all three of these areas Heichal. Based on Bechira Aleph, Hey, Ve'eloin Dvarim Shein Iker Binyan Abayis, Kodesh, Kodesh Kadashim, V'yeh Lefnei HaKodesh Makom Echav, V'unikra Ulam. V'shloshta Nikra Heichal. And then he goes through the seven special kalim that we'll get to B'Hashem in the next parak, right? This parak that only talks about the walls and the ceilings, but that is the special kalim that are there. So the ulam was made. Pasuk Dalid, fascinating fact. Vayas labayis chalonei shkufim atumim. For the Beis HaMikdash, there were windows. But what type of windows? Shkufim atumim. What does that mean? Rashi quotes Chazal. They were windows. Remember, the walls were thick. So a window means you have to have a hole in the thick wall. But the way they made it was that the window was wider on the outside. It was skinny on the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. And as it went out, it got wider. Why is that? Because these windows weren't for light. They weren't to bring light into the Beis HaMikdash, but rather it was the opposite, symbolically, to show that the Beis HaMikdash is that its light radiates out to the world. And that's why it got wider on the outside. That is it's mashpia on the whole world, right? Like the Medrash, the beginning of Parshas Baloscha, which discusses, you know, Aaron HaKohen was given the mitzvah of Baloscha, Zaneiros, Neiros Chanukah. Why was he happy about that? Because those lights of the menorah symbolically show Hashras Hashchina, but the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be Mashpia on the whole world. Says the Medrash there in Bamidbar. Teidak she'adam bone bayis osalo chalono saros mi bachutz v'rachavos mi bifnim. If you build a house, you have the thick side, the wide window on the inside, because you want to bring as much light in as possible. Kedeshi ha'or nechnas mi bachutz u'meir mi bifnim. V'shlomo she'bana Beis HaMikdash lo asakach, says the Medrash. Elo asak chalonos saros mi bifnim u'rachavos mi bachutz, because the light of the Beis HaMikdash radiates out. That's the message of these windows. Again, every detail of the Beis HaMikdash has symbolism. We're not going through it, but all the Svarim here, the Be'er Moshe and others, the Ralbag here goes as columns and columns. Every detail is meaningful. We're going to just pick out a few of them. But the windows, because that's what, and this is a Beis HaMikdash, but really you could generalize this and say this is a shul. Right, and this is a yeshiva, and this is a school. The light of the shul is supposed to radiate out to the community. The light of the Torah centers is supposed to radiate out. And that's the message of the window being skinny on the inside and wide on the outside. That is a crucial message that we take with us. Okay, so we continue now. Vayivin Alkir Abayis Yatzia Saviv and Pasakei. He built behind the Kodesh Kadashim. There was another area, a Yatzia, an annex. Vayaslo Saviv, and he built Slo's rooms all over. So again, this is all new. None of this was in the Mishkan. The Radak is going to say in the next parak, it must have been all benevuah. It's not that Shlomo HaMelech decided, this is what sounds good. This is what I'm going to build. No, chas v'shalom. Every detail of the Beis HaMikdash, based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, hakol b'ksav, everything must have been told to him by his father. by David HaMelech. I remember he was only 12 years old when he became king. So he must have been very young, but he was told to him. Every single detail of the Beis HaMikdash was given to him, including all of these rooms that were situated around the Heichal and around the Kodesh. So it was all given to him. Pasuk Zion, Vahabayis bihi bano so, when the bayis was built. The Midrashim pick up on the word bihi bano so, as it was built. That sounds like it was built by itself. There are a number of Midrashim that talk about that at least some of the elements of the Beis HaMikdash happened by itself. Sometimes we look at the Kotel, even, just as an outer wall. Like, how in the world did they lift up those stones? If you mind, it's like a miracle, the way they had to do it. Part of it, says Chazal, on this Pasuk, was that it happened by itself. Happened by itself. How did some of these stones get there? How did it get there? Right, that's the Me'elav, they were slapped there. There's a beautiful Yalkut on this Pasuk. I think I mentioned it in other Shiurim. The Yalkut quotes from Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. He was very poor. He saw all of his city, they were bringing the Dharma Nadavas to Yerushalayim. They were all bringing Karbanos and all other items. He says, everybody's bringing stuff, I don't have anything to bring. Well, I don't have any money. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, remember, he was very poor in Gemara Tainis, and his wife davened for the golden chabal, and that's all about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So he went outside, he sees a rock. He's like, okay, I'm going to bring this rock to the Beis HaMikdash. So then all of a sudden he's like, it's too heavy. So he needs some help. So he sees five people there, and he's davening lo chamisha b'nei adam. Amar lehem, he says, you want to help me? They say, fine. We'll help you, but you have to pay us. Give us five slime, and we'll help you. So he says, I don't have five slime. He says, they're like, you know what? Just you help. We'll help, but you help. So he says, no, can you do it for me? So they say, no. You help and put your finger on it. You know, meaning you have to do the most that you can. Nasan esbo imahim, he put his finger on the rock, and all of a sudden, he found himself in Yerushalayim with the rock. Nimsu omdim Yerushalayim. Bikish lidin lemez aslam velo matzam, and he wanted to then pay them, because then he got money. He went to the money machine, and they were gone. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent malachim, because he wanted to do this so badly. They sent malachim, and this is part of how the Beis HaMikdash was built. That they that obviously is by Sheni, if we're talking about one of the Tanaim. But this is the pasuk by Bayis Rishon. And the pasuk continues and says, Evan Shlema Masa Divne, whole stones. Vahagarzen kokli barzel lo nishma babayis bimonoso. There were no axes and saws heard in the Beis HaMikdash. So what does that mean? There is a machlokes in Masechta Sota in the second to last daf on daf memches. Does this mean they weren't even chiseled outside? Some say it was all whole stones. You couldn't cut any of them. And the other shittas say no, they were cut outside, but there was no cutting inside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, either way, there is a halacha. There is an Isser D'Oraisa to cut stones for the Mizbeach. That's at the end of Parshas Yisro. There's an Isser D'Oraisa to cut stones, though the Mizbeach had to be built with stones that were not cut, that were not hewn. The Sefer Chinuch, the Mitzvah Mem. Even if a knife touched the stone, it already passes, right? But Shlomo HaMelech here is even being more machmir. Not just the Mizbeach, which is the Din D'Oraisa, even the walls, even the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, he was not allowing to use with any stone. I saw, beautiful, one of the Sfarim mentioned, maybe because eventually who was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Esav and his followers. Esav is Achar B'Chatichya. It's all about the sword. So we don't want to use any sword for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, because that symbolizes destruction. And we know, this is what Rashi quotes also in Parshas Yisro, why are we not allowed to have any hewn stones? Because the sword symbolizes death, cutting short people's lives. The Mizbeach symbolizes lengthening people's lives, right, giving kapara, and it's Eino Bedin. It's not appropriate for the knife to be connected to what gives longer life. We know, even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today, there are some halachos that are connected to this. The Shulchan Aruch quotes that you should not have the knife on the table out in the open when you bench. If you cut bread, you should cover the knife. Cover the knife. Why? So the Shulchan Aruch says in Simin Kuf Pei, Noagim Lachasos Asakim Shasper Chazamazan. But you don't have to cover it on Shabbos and Yantif. Okay, but why is it? The Beis Yosef quotes two reasons. Why do you cover the knife? So first reason is our issue. Because the Shulchan, your table, symbolizes the Mizbeach. There are parallels to that. And the knife symbolizes the Makatzer. And just like you can't have the knife on the Mizbeach, you also can't have the knife on your table when you are benching. The other reason, we've quoted this often also in the past, is the name of Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbi Beis Yosef quotes, Rabbeinu Simcha says, because at one time in history there was somebody who was benching, and he got so upset when he talked about Binyan Yerushalayim that there was no Beis HaMikdash, he took the knife and he stabbed himself. And that's why you have to take the knife off the table. So all the Mefarshim say, because there was one crazy guy in history, forevermore, we don't have the knife on the table? And the answer is no, because we want to remember there was somebody who felt so strongly about Yerushalayim, that he did that. Not that, you know, we're going to do it, chas v'shalom, but just to remember that there was such a person who was so emotionally connected to Yerushalayim. But that whole thing is connected to the idea, that whole halacha, in Simen Kuf Pei, Sif Hei, that we do not want the knife and the Mizbeach connecting, and here, Shlomo HaMelech doesn't even want to have the knife connecting to any stone in the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so it continues, these lockers, these rooms are described, three different levels, there's spiral staircases going up, Belulim, in Pasaches, staircases going up and up, Vayivin as a bias, and he builds it, and the Mizbeach is, and the walls are built. And then right in the middle, we have Vayihi Divar Hashem El Shlomo Lemar. In the middle of the perek, Hashem says to Shlomo, remember, it's only going to stand if you have a base, if you follow my ways and you follow the Torah. Ask the Abarbanel, the question that everybody would ask. Why is in the middle of the perek, we're talking about the structure, Hashem talks to Shlomo, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, you better keep my Torah. Why in the middle, says the Abarbanel? Because Shlomo HaMelech is sinking into this building so much money and beauty, and he wants to make it the eternal home of Hashem. Hashem says, it's only going to be eternal. Before you do any more, let me just remind you. It's a warning. It's only going to be eternal if you follow me. It's only going to be eternal if Am Yisrael keeps the Torah. And obviously we know that did not happen, and that was not true. But that is what the Abarbanel says, why this is stuck right in the middle of the parak. And then the parak continues describing, it's unbelievable, the beauty that it described, the architectural nature. It's all cedar wood, there was no stone, on the inside of the Heichal, all gold, Vayitzaveo Zav Sagur, totally golden on the inside. And then we have in Pasach Chaf Gimel, just one last point, in the Dvir, we have the two Kruvim. Right, this is an unusual, right, out of all the things that were added, probably this is the most, catches our attention. Two large Kruvim that was standing on the floor, going all the way up. How wide were they? They were 10, it says here, Shei Kruvim Atzi, Shemen Eser Amos, 10 Amos tall, and each wing span was 5 Amos. That means 4 wings, 20 Amos wingspan width. Rashi points out, therefore this must have been Bederach Nes, because the Kodesh Kadashim, in which these Kruvim were put, was only 20 Amos wide. If the wingspans were 20 Amos wide, so where was the body of the Kruvim? Right? It didn't fit! The answer is, that's the Kodesh Kadashim. The Kodesh Kadashim, just like the Aron didn't fit, as we have mentioned in the past, the Kruvim didn't fit, as Rashi says, they didn't fit. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Basra, on Daf Tzadites, that the Machlokes, how were these Kruvim situated? Were they looking at each other, or were they looking towards the front of the Kodesh Kadashim? That's a Machlokes in Maseches Bava Basra. And the Gemara says, well, maybe there's no Machlokes. Maybe it depends, you know, what state Am Yisrael were in at the time. At a time when they were following Hashem, they were looking at each other. Because again, it symbolizes one Kruv is Hashem, one Kruv is Am Yisrael, symbolizes they're connected to each other. And if they're not, so then maybe that's a time when Ein Osin Ritzono Shalmakom. Those are the two Kruvim described in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. The Be'er Yosef, we're not going to read the whole thing now, but the Be'er Yosef goes through on Parshas Truma, you know, why we needed more Kruvim. We had the Kruvim on the Aron, so what did Shlomo Melech have to make more Kruvim for? And big Kruvim on the ground. So the Be'er Yosef says, just in a word, in the Midbar, we didn't need other Kruvim, because we were all got the Mon and the Be'er. We were directly connected to Torah and Hashem all the time. That symbolizes the Kruvim on the Aron, right? It's made from one gold slab. We were connected. We were on the Aron. We were connected to Hashem, connected to the Torah all the time. But now in Eretz Yisrael, we're farmers, we're involved in all this, all other types of businesses. So we have to be able to have Kruvim that are on the ground also. That are on the ground, we're involved in life. But obviously we're still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just only in Torah, as the Kruvim on the Aron symbolize, but also the standing up Kruvim, symbolize our connection, and that's dafka what we needed during the time that they during the time that we went into the Beis HaMikdash and into Eretz Yisrael. And there was, so one of the Achronim also, or even Medayik, in this whole parak, it's in singular. And he put, and he, and he, and he, because it's all about Shlomo. But in Pasach Chav Zayin, it says, he put the Kruvim in the Kodesh Kadashim, Vayitein, and then it says, Vayifrasu, they. So the Gra, so quoted, the Gra says, because the Kruvim spread out their own wings. That was the miracle. It's all of a sudden in plural. They spread their wings out. Vatiga, and one wing touched the other wing, and then once they had the Kodesh Kodashim set up, they would put the Aron in there underneath. Okay, there's a lot more details here about the gold, but the parak ends off by saying, in the 11th year of Shlomo, which means it took 7 years to build, in the month of Bul. What's Bul? That's Cheshvan. Why is it called Bul? The Radak says it's like the Mabul. The Mabul started in Cheshvan. That's Bul. Or Rashi says Bul Levalos means to get worn out. That's when the rainy season starts, and that's when the a lot of the Tua gets rained on and worn out. Either way, that is when the Beis HaMikdash was finished. The Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky here discusses, was it 7 years, was it 7.5 years? Because we're going to learn that the party that they had was in Tishrei. So how can you say it was finished in Cheshvan here? So it must be that they finished it earlier, but they had a little, it was done, but they had a little things to finish off. It was totally, totally finished in Cheshvan, even though, even already a month earlier, they were able to have the party. But they built it for 7 years. The Radak says, we could do the math, 4th year to 11th year. That emphasizes that they didn't take a break. Shlomo went straight, he built it 7 years, and then he had a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we'll talk about more the structure, the kalim, and other unique items in the Beis HaMikdash in the next parak, which also discusses the structure.